Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Let's keep going on these spring football previews. Graham Hall joins us from Swamp 24/7. Let's talk about the Florida Gators team, not on the Mississippi State schedule this year, but they have been for the past couple of years. A group of six coach from the state of Louisiana who was kind of biding his time and waiting on the right job. He settles on Florida. Am I talking about Billy Napier or am I talking about John Sumrall? Why is this one going to be different?
You know, John Sumrall joked when Florida expressed interest in him. He said, you know, you guys are really going to do this again? I mean, how are fans going to react to this? He just parted ways with a guy who had a pretty similar rise to the profession as I did. But John Sumrall is his own person. John Sumrall is John Sumrall. I mean, he is just a different type of coach, and we'll see how much that translates to success on the field for Florida. But you can already notice a lot of differences in Gainesville, from obviously hiring Buster Faulkner as the offensive coordinator, who was so highly regarded at Georgia Tech, from just his mentality in the weight room, the admissions, the transparency, quite honestly. And that's not to take a shot at the previous regime, but I do think that there were multiple times where some of the, I guess we could say, issues at Florida were either downplayed or undersold, and fans came away more angry as a result because they felt led astray, whether it was the weight room or DJ Lagway's situation last year, which I understand protecting him and not to rehash the past, but it kind of was a microcosm for how the previous regime operated, where you didn't have this brutal honesty that is quite refreshing. It's certainly refreshing to cover as a media member, and I think it's refreshing for fans. Now, this is the time where kind of a head coach can almost do no wrong, right? You haven't played any games. You can't lose right now. You can endear yourself to fans without having the win-loss record be how your reputation is derived for people in the city of Gainesville. So John Sumrall so far has embraced that. He's been out at basketball games. He's been around the community. He's been, like I said, very transparent and honest. And I think maybe the most refreshing aspect for a lot of people in Gainesville is that we're having a true quarterback competition unfold in front of our eyes. You know, go back to last year with DJ Lagway. Even though he missed all of spring camp as a passer, he was a modified participant, he was never in danger of losing that job. So you had guys taking first team reps into spring and into fall, more reps than DJ Lagway, but they really didn't have a chance of winning that job. I kind of got some flack last year for asking a question about whether one of the guys in Harrison Bailey or Aiden Warner, who had taken the majority of first team reps, had a chance of passing DJ Lagway up on the depth chart and playing in a game. And Billy Napier was incredulous at the suggestion. You now have a quarterback competition between Aaron Filo and Tremell Jones, where whoever is the best quarterback, there's going to be no favoritism shown to Filo coming from Buster Faulkner's offense, even if he has a little bit of an advantage from a terminology standpoint. There's going to be no favoritism shown. So having a true competition is another one of the refreshing aspects that we've been able to glean from the John Sumrall era through now 10 spring camp practices, two-thirds of the way through the book.
And that's kind of news to me as an outsider, because I thought that Filo was going to definitely be the guy. How is that quarterback competition rolling then?
Yeah, both guys have looked impressive to me. You haven't really seen much separation, and everything that we've heard is that they're neck and neck almost. One guy will have a better practice, and then the next practice, and one of the other guys will have a better practice. Tremell Jones, I give him a lot of credit for returning to Florida, new staff, didn't play a ton last year. But, you know, it would have been easy for him to head elsewhere and maybe have a little more of a guarantee at another program. I mean, he had a kind of, like you said, the belief was that he had an uphill battle to earn the job from Aaron Filo, who Buster Faulkner was so high on, and A.J. Erdely, who was the quarterback's coach at Georgia Tech. He comes to Florida as well as the assistant quarterback's coach. And if you're Tremell Jones, it would have been maybe easy to run away from that and think like, hey, man, I want a fair chance. And am I going to even get that? Yeah, I'm the returning guy, but they're handpicking, in a sense, their quarterback to come in. Tremell Jones has not just embraced that battle. He has elevated his game, which is what you want to see in a quarterback. And he does a lot of things really, really well. He's a mobile passer. He throws a really, really good ball. There have been some times where I have actually watched him throw compared to Aaron Philo, and I've thought that Philo doesn't really throw as good of a ball as Tremell Jones. Now, again, that's routes on air. How is it going to look in a game? Is this going to be a quarterback situation that stretches into fall camp? Is there going to be no clear-cut starting quarterback named after spring camp? My gut tells me that when spring camp concludes in less than 2 weeks, Florida will not have named a starting quarterback. This is going to be a battle that is going to push into fall camp, which, again, is credit to Jones. I don't think it's an indictment in any way of Aaron Philo. He's got all new teammates, 50 new teammates. The terminology is similar, but there's still some novel aspects of it. And then you have a little bit of a maybe an uptick in competition. I know Florida's a four-win team last year, but their talent was not four-win-esque. There's more talent on this roster than they were able to get results out of the field last year. So the combination of those two inexperienced quarterbacks both pushing each other right now, I do think it's fair to say that it's anyone's job to win or lose right now.
And you kind of hit on something there that I wanted to say, that, you know, when I think of Florida's best teams through the years, they have superstars, not just stars, superstars at those skill positions, wide receiver and running back. They've got guys like that this year. Jaden Baugh is an outstanding running back. Brown and Wilson, bringing in Singleton from Auburn is a huge get. This feels like, on paper anyway, what I expect to see when I look at Florida's skill position guys.
Yeah, I kind of look around at some of the other wideout groups in the SEC and try and look, and there's a ton of talent. I mean, Texas is obviously loaded. But I'm kind of surprised that Florida's not getting a little bit more respect.
Yeah, it's good.
A lot of it's based on potential.
Yeah.
It's based on what you can project, which who knows if that will come to fruition, if they'll exceed expectations or fail to live up to them. But you look at the talent. Dallas Wilson, former five-star wide receiver, played four games last year, but when he was out there, he was fantastic. I mean, his debut against Texas was fantastic last year, set multiple freshman records. If he can do that for a full season and build off of what he showed last year, could be one of the SEC's best wide receivers. Brenell Brown III, incredible knowledge of the offense. Coaches have kind of remarked that when he's asking questions about the offense and the terminology, it almost feels like he's testing them in a sense. And so to get that out of a sophomore who's also going to be your punt returner, who was an all-SEC freshman last year, could be really, really dynamic for Florida's offense. And then you bring in Eric Singleton, who can work out of the backfield, has knowledge of Buster Faulkner from having been at Georgia Tech before he transferred to Auburn, a guy who can, yeah, like work out of the backfield as well and the looks that he could give the offense. And then you factor in some of the additional, you know, returning guys, TJ Abrams, Khalil Jackson. Can you get anything out of Khalil this year? That would be a win. You bring in a lot of talented freshmen. Davian Gross has been compared to a Percy Harvin type. Now, will he have a Percy Harvin type career at Florida? A long way to go, certainly. But you hear that name thrown around. What could he be in a year or 2 years, or even if he can see the field as a freshman? Justin Williams is a local kid who had a fantastic season at Buchholz. Marquez Daniel, huge body wide receiver, talented. And then Bailey Stockton, I think, is a really underrated addition for Florida. He battled through multiple injuries at Georgia Tech last year, only had around like 200 yards, but he was a standout. He's known Aaron Philo since they were 11 years old, played under Greg Vandegrift up there, who's the father of former, you know, five-star quarterback Brock Vandegrift. So he's been around good coaching all his life. This is someone who could be, I think, a breakout, maybe a dark horse candidate to be one of the SEC's better playmakers if Florida's quarterback play can reach the level that is required to spread the ball around and give these guys adequate touches. In my opinion, it's a loaded wide receiver room. And then talking about skill positions, I mean, you bring back a guy in Jaden Baugh who would have been probably one of the top paid running backs if he were to enter the portal. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas was looming, it seemed. There are multiple other programs that would have offered him as well. He comes back to Florida. You get Duke Clark back as well. You land two guys in the portal in Evan Pryor and London Montgomery. If Florida's quarterback play and offensive line play is up to snuff, Florida's offense has a chance to be really, really dynamic. Now, a long way to go, but like you said, on paper, they look like they have the playmakers that could elevate this offense considerably under Buster Faulkner.
When you think John Summerall, you think defense. He's one of the best defensive coaches in college football. And it's really surprising in the year 2026 to see how much experience Florida returns in terms of guys who played last year at Florida. That's just such a rare thing. You know, you look at that defensive depth chart, it's a lot of guys who've played snaps for the Florida Gators already. Again, we're talking about on paper, but it just looks like this should be one of the better defenses in the conference.
Yeah, I think Florida returns more defensive production than any other team in the SEC. Now, again, this is a four-win team, but anyone who watched Florida last year, save for maybe that Kentucky game, knows that Florida's defense was not the culprit for its issues. I mean, you have Miles Graham, who one of the better linebackers in the middle, in my opinion. He's dealing with an injury right now, but he's going to be good to go. You bring back Aaron Childs, Jaden Robinson. You bring back multiple guys on that defensive front that probably were getting some interesting offers to hop into the portal, like Joseph Mbachu, Brendan Bett, who I think is poised for a breakout season. You know, he got headlines for all the wrong reasons last year for that spitting incident against USF. But when we talk to him, that's motivating him to prove to people that he's more than just someone who can be known for an unsavory headline. You know, it's motivating him right now, which I think is noble that he's not trying to sit there and say, oh, that's all behind me. He's acknowledging that he's got a lot to prove. And there are people who are doubting him. And he's been a standout for Florida thus far in practice. They brought in Emmanuel Oyebadejo, who has been just fantastic for Florida. I'm still trying to learn how to say his name. I know I butchered it. Oyebadejo, I believe it is actually how it's said. This is a guy who's, you know, 6'7", 305 pounds, physical, just freak. I mean, he's benching 375 at 5 rep max. He could be really good off the end for Florida. And then Jaden Woods would have been, you know, how am I just now getting to Jaden Woods, right? Jaden Woods had a breakout freshman season. He takes that official visit to Texas, enters the portal, doesn't commit to Texas. Florida goes back to his home in Kansas, brings him in, brings him back to Gainesville, and just kind of is not just picked up where he left off, but has hit the ground running. That's someone in that defensive front that I think is going to be really good. The front seven, I think, is going to be really good for Florida. And then you return Bryce Thornton at safety, who has been a starter for the past 2.5 seasons for Florida. You bring back Cormani McClain, Dijon Johnson, two of your starting cornerbacks. You lose Devin Moore to the draft, but you bring back two guys that have starting experience, and then you bring in a bunch of guys via the portal from Kentucky, like Cam Dooley, DJ Coleman from Baylor, DK Kalu from Baylor. This is a defense that has a chance to be really, really good under Brad White. They don't need to be the best defense in the country. Obviously, that would be awesome for Florida, but they have enough talent to be more than just simply serviceable and great. And you'll see that, I think, a little bit more if the offense can stay on the field rather than three and out, three and out, three and out, which we just saw far too much of last season.
What's something that you want an answer to this spring? What's something that Florida needs to look at this spring and they need to know the answer to it going into preseason?
That's a good question, because I think before spring camp, I would have said you would like some separation from the quarterback position.
Right.
You know the old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, yeah, you don't have one.
Yeah.
Now, how true is that? I think there's some credence to that, certainly. You want to see some separation at some point, but 10 practices in, I'm not so certain that it would be anywhere close to the worst thing in the world if Florida hasn't named a starting quarterback. I think more than anything, Florida, and this is a little bit of an intangible, but they just got to get tougher, man. I mean, they were weak last year, you know, and part of what I said at the beginning of the lack of transparency, every year, no coach is going to come out and be like, yeah, our strength staff sucks. Yeah, it's leading us to be injured. I mean, you hear that, that's like a red, you know, flag situation right there, you know. And Billy Napier was trying to watch out for his job, so to speak, and watch out for a ton of other jobs in the building. So maybe he was a little less inclined to indict them. But the staff that has come in has said that the strength program here was not where it needs to be. And John Summerall has used anecdotal evidence to prove that by saying that he came in and squat more than all but four offensive linemen, that he benched more than a couple offensive linemen trying to go to the NFL draft in April right now. When you have that lack of physical, mental toughness, and your head coach can prove it to you, I think it kind of speaks volumes a little bit. This is a team that gained some mental toughness because of the adversity they went through, but a lot of guys that still don't know what it takes to win in this league. No one on Florida's roster has won more than, what, eight games in an SEC season? They haven't gone more than 7-5 in a regular season. They need to be mentally tougher and physically tougher. And from talking to everyone around the program, they're getting closer. If they can do a little bit more in the next five practices and come out where this staff feels really good about where they are heading into the summer, if the physicality and the toughness, again, intangibles, these are kind of like buzzwords, cliches in a sense.
Yeah.
But that is what is missing from Florida. They've got a coach that can scheme up against the best of the best in Buster Faulkner. They've got talent at the skill positions. They've got two quarterbacks they feel really good about. They return more defensive production than anyone else. If they can be tougher, the coaching is there, the talent is there, but they need to be tougher. So that's the biggest thing I'm looking for, how they finish spring camp, how they come out of that looking from a toughness standpoint. That's probably the biggest thing for me right now.
I mean, sometimes cliches are cliches for a reason. You know, that you do have to know those things. Let's finish it up with we're asking everybody the same final question here. Black Friday is the last regular season game for Florida when they play Florida State. If I caught up with you on Saturday after and said, what was Florida this season? What was your answer?
I think notably improved.
I think so too.
And part of that's the schedule. I mean,
that game at Auburn.
That's a big that's
for
gauge.
Both teams. Yeah.
You know, it's a barometer for both programs. And that game is fascinating to me for multiple instances, because you could make a case that in an alternate reality, John Summerall is at Auburn and maybe Lane Kiffin's at Florida. Who knows? Yeah. You know, I mean, there are probably still a couple of Florida fans out there, if they haven't been won over by John Summerall now, we're sitting there and say, man, we could have had Lane Kiffin, you know, 4 months ago. But John Summerall, I don't know how well documented this was, but he thought he was headed to Auburn. Mm-hmm. I mean, until the tail end of the process, like we talked about at the beginning, he thought there was no way Florida was going to go back into the G5 and hire a coach from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that he was headed to Auburn, and he had handpicked before this process to bring Buster Faulkner with him. So probably the two coaches that Florida fans are highest on right now in Summerall and Buster Faulkner could have been in Auburn. So this is a gauge for Florida's coaching staff and for Florida fans to see if they got the right guy, in a sense. And now it's way too early to tell. That's the first SEC game, right? And no one's going to sit here and say, oh, John Summerall's a failure if they don't beat Auburn. I mean, you're going up to the Plains and you got to beat a team on the road in your first ever SEC game with 50 plus new players and a new, you know, staff and all these things after you play Florida Atlantic and Campbell. So this is your first quote unquote real test of the season. But people are going to look at that game and say, let's see the work that Florida has done if it comes to fruition in the past 9 months, or if maybe we were led to believe that things were a little bit better than they were, and there is more work to be done. People will feel a lot better in Gainesville about the rest of the season if they go into Auburn and win that game. Now, I do think the rest of the way, and this is not to, you know, I'm not trying to be quote unquote homer or have orange and blue tinted glasses, whatever you want to call it, but you look at the schedule. Last year, I sat there and I said, man, Florida probably, with a healthy DJ Lagway, if they win seven games, mm-hmm. you could make a case that it was a successful season. I mean, look who they played and where they played them. But I kid you not, I look at the schedule and I think that if this team reaches its level and plays up to its capabilities and doesn't shoot itself in the foot, which we saw far too often in Gainesville the last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
this team could win eight games or more in 2026. And if you double up your win improvement from going from 4-8 to 8-4, people are going to be more willing to spend. They're going to feel more optimistic about what this could look like in a couple of years with a full recruiting cycle from this staff. You know, recruiting wasn't the problem under Billy Napier. If John Summerall can be able to recruit at a level similar to the previous regimes, if not better, and they have better on-field results, this could be a top 10 class for Florida. They hit the portal, and then people feel really, really good about their chances of being even better in 2027. So if we're sitting here talking on Black Friday and they go up to, you know, Tallahassee, which, let's be honest, they should beat the Noles.
They should.
I mean, we'll see if Mike Norvell is even coaching that team in the final week of November. If they go up to FSU and get win number 8 or, you know, win number 9, I may sound crazy talking about a 4-win team maybe winning 9 games this next year. But if they get win 8 or 9, people are going to feel really, really good. And you would, if you told Florida fans 2 decades ago that, hey, 9-win season is good, some people would have been like, what do you mean, man? We won 2 championships in 3 years, 9 wins, not making the SEC championship game, barely missing out on the college football playoff. That's not good enough. We've been patient for so long. There's going to be some people who think that, but there's going to be a lot of people who sit there and say, okay, look at the improvement that was made in 1 year. Yeah. I feel a lot better about the future.
Week 3, 4, 5, 6 at Auburn, Ole Miss at home, at Missouri, at South Carolina. I think that kind of tells the tale for the Florida Gators this year. Whatever they're going to be is determined in that little stretch of games. Graham, always appreciate your time, man. You're always so generous with your information and your time. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Pleasure's all mine, man. You do a great job. Got to catch up soon for sure.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.